Hi, welcome to Songwriting Tips and Inspiration with me, Robin Frederick. It's nice to have you here. Today I'm going to be talking with Kathy Heller. Kathy is a go-to artist when it comes to licensing music to TV commercials. Her songs have been featured in major ad campaigns for McDonald's, Walmart, Petco, KFC, Quaker, and Special K, among many others. Every artist wants to make a great living making music, but most haven't figured out how. For years, Kathy has been blazing a new trail in the music industry, pitching her own music, and now she's helping other artists do the same. So I want to know how she does it. Kathy, you've had so much success placing your songs in TV commercials. Do you write songs with that market specifically in mind?
When I started, initially I was writing tons and tons of songs, like we all do, and a few of them were given some attention and people said, oh, those are really good. Let me send them to so-and-so. You know, that's just how things work. You know, as soon as you put things in the world, you'll get a sense pretty quickly what's working and what's not. Because right away, someone knows someone and doors start to open. And so a few of the songs that I had worked for ads and I got a few placements. But then I said, how do I reverse engineer this process so that I could do this all the time? I started really trying to understand and hone the technology. What is it that makes a song work for an ad? And this is what I now teach in my class. There's a few different things, you know, it's not like a one size fits all, but there's some definite consistencies across the board. First of all, when you're writing a song for an ad, you want to think about the brand sort of speaking to you, right? It's their message. Things that they use have to do with things that are going to be inspiring, right? So they're looking for people to come to this brand for something that's going to add value to their life. So if it's a song about something that makes it feel new, newness, and moving forward and making a change, or if it's a song about, there's different times a year. So sometimes it's like the holidays and sometimes it's back to school. But it's all very positive. You know, it's very rare that you would find a song in an ad that was a real downer. Now, there are songs that are slow tempo-wise. I would say those are maybe 10% out of 100%. But that happens sometimes like in a beautiful, sort of reflective, whimsical, like a Subaru commercial where the father's looking off and watching the daughter drive off to college. But it's still going to be a beautiful, positive lyric. It's not going to be depressing. And then in terms of the production, it typically feels that everything is pushed because it's trying to elicit a response from you to feel extremely positive and proactive. So a lot of the music, I would say, is very dynamic and quirky and interesting, and it moves a lot. Those are some of the main things I would say are consistent.
So let me take a moment here to play a track for our listeners to show them the kind of dynamic, quirky, interesting production with an upbeat lyric theme that you're talking about. This is the Highfields and a verse and chorus from Better Together.
We are two of a kind.
This song really does have an upbeat, energized, playful vibe. So if I'm understanding you right, what you're saying is the song itself needs to make the viewer feel something emotional about the brand.
Yeah, and that's why I think so often today indie artists have such a leg up, because if the brand wants to make exactly what you just said, make them feel the way they're hoping that you're going to feel, they would rather use a cool hipster millennial indie artist than they would buy a library track. And they would rather sort of relate to their audience in a way that feels really authentic. So writing a jingle wouldn't be as cool than using a song by someone up and coming. And they would probably love someone who's new and to discover that, because it only helps them deliver to their target market like exactly the kind of feelings they want you to walk away with. Because let's face it, these big box stores like Target and Walmart and even like Macy's, right? They're so big at this point. There's nothing like hipster. There's no like, they're not the underdog, you know?
For sure. They could afford a really big name artist if they wanted to. So are you saying that they might prefer an indie artist, somebody who's unknown, who doesn't bring a lot of celebrity baggage with them?
Well, because everybody wants to be cool and everybody wants to be on the cutting edge of the next new thing. And so I think, there are times where they might create a campaign and have in mind like a Bruno Mars song. But I think beyond those maybe three ads a year where they're going to be willing to spend, let's say, $500,000, they would probably prefer something that makes them look like they're actually cool. Because what makes people cool after a while, you know, isn't having tons and tons of money and being, you know, a giant magnet in their industry. It's being someone that's still with the trend, and the trends start in Brooklyn. They start on the streets of Detroit. They start in East LA. They're not starting on Park Avenue.
Sure. And these stores want to appeal to a younger consumer too. And they want to use songs that have that authentic, youthful, rebellious spirit that says, hey, we're with you. We're on your side. We've got the kind of clothes you and your friends like to wear.
Yeah, you'll have that thing that's kind of indie that no one knows about yet.
And since you brought this up, I kind of want to go here for a minute. You mentioned $500,000 for a Bruno Mars track. For an indie artist, will they pay very much for an indie artist who doesn't have a big following like Bruno Mars has?
Yeah, I mean, they will. I mean, I've been lucky enough, you know, we get paid anywhere between like 25, 50 grand, 70 grand. It just depends on the song. It depends on where it's being used. But this is an incredible amount of money when you think about how you can license that same song again, because they're not buying the song from you. They're licensing the right to use it, and they're usually using it for like 3 months. So, and even during that 3 months, the exclusivity is typically for the genre of what that brand sells. So let's say it's, you know, if it's Kellogg's, maybe it's just breakfast cereal for 3 months. You can't use another cereal, but you could go to a car company with the same song. So when you're thinking about making 60 grand, for the right to give someone to use it. And if, let's say, you do two of those a month, you know, that's where it becomes, to me, like the most exciting journey an artist can have, where you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't have to go on tour. You don't have to worry about, you know, all the intangibles that you have no control over. You can just hunker down and work on your craft and work on writing music.
What a wonderful way to look at it, and what a great opportunity to be able to make money, write your songs, and, you know, not have to worry about going out and touring. But what about those people who feel like having their songs used in commercials is kind of selling out?
Yeah, sometimes people have a hard time thinking, you know, not often, but sometimes they'll say, I don't know if that's me, you know, I feel like it's selling out. It's like, no, you don't really... You're not really aware of what they're using. Go listen. When you listen, you'll realize nothing that they're using sounds like a cheesy jingle anymore. Those days are 30 years gone. So we're talking about really cool music. That's some of the coolest bands today who are indie bands, and the kinds of sounds and the kinds of authenticity that comes through in these tracks is just so much fun. Everybody can create their own version of that.
You know, you used the word authenticity just now, and that's a word that keeps coming up every time I ask a music supervisor what they're looking for, you know, and that goes for commercials too. They all say they're looking for something that sounds authentically like a band, authentically like an artist. They're looking for the real deal. They're looking for something unique.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about the nuts and bolts of writing this kind of song. So you've got your positive theme of brand new, on our way, friendship, togetherness. How soon should you get to that theme in your lyric?
I mean, I think that right away it should be positive. You know, you can start with like, things are looking up, I figured this out, and things are on their way. And then in the chorus, you say something like, and today's the day. So you definitely want to have your chorus. You can wait for the chorus to say your essential few words, but right from the start, you want to feel that this song is about to like move you out of that sleepy place into something that feels like inspired.
So maybe you shouldn't start with my life was really miserable until I met you, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, probably not. And that's interesting too, because you're a person who has sort of mastered songwriting and written books on it. And I remember early on in my songwriting career, I would go out of my way to try to make the verse very different than the chorus and to really tell a story that was sort of over here and then let the chorus answer that it was a complete shift. And that's not necessarily where I think you'd want to go for licensing.
So the idea might be to focus your whole song on a single emotion. For example, if you're going to write about feeling happy, feeling good, best day of your life, that kind of thing, you might want to focus your verse on what you hope will happen today or how the world looks to you when you're feeling really good. Images that make people smile, sunshine, happy faces, colors, you would use throughout your song in both your verse and your chorus. Let me play an example of a song that does that really well. Here's a verse and chorus of Technicolor by Tim Myers. It was used in a Tide commercial.
I paint the numbers in the sky, canvas for my eyes, each watercolor day, each gamma ray, orange and green, that's what I'm feeling. Everything I do, yours, all right. We all need the sunshine, ultraviolet light. I don't see in black and white. I see light in technicolor. I see love round every corner. I see light in technicolor. I see love.
Talking a lot about songwriting, lyrics, and themes, let's talk a little bit about production. What kind of production works best for advertising?
Yeah, I think the production is so, so important. And I think that it winds up being probably out of 100%, I think it's 70% of what makes it work. So if 30% is the whole song, 70% of the production, it's got to really pop. It's got to be very interesting. And the more you go online and listen to what's working, you can go to iSpot.tv. You can go to Splendad, SPLENDAD.com. You can go to every brand's own playlist on YouTube and listen to what Coke has been using, listen to what Skechers uses. You will listen right away. You'll start to hear that the production is very dynamic, very interesting, very quirky. There's hand claps. There's wooden sounds. There's feet stomping on the floor. It's not just a vocal and a guitar. It's really something special.
Some of those things you just mentioned, and in fact, all of those things you just mentioned, are acoustic. They're organic. And I've noticed that with a lot of commercials, they really like that human element. You know, it's interesting. I've noticed some car commercials like Lincoln and Cadillac, they'll go for more of the electropop sound. Other car commercials like VW and Subaru, they go for a much more organic acoustic sound because they want to sell to families, and that's a more family-friendly sound. It's the same with products like cereal and pet foods and laundry detergent and retailers like Target and Macy's. You can get a good feel for what kind of production people are using just by watching commercials on TV. Don't push the mute button when the commercials come on. Just listen to what the production is doing and then try that in some songs of your own. Kathy, I'd like to play a song of yours called Gonna Make a Change that was used in a Kellogg's commercial, and people will hear a lot of that organic acoustic sound.
I could use a fresh coat of paint, change my scenery, wake up in the morning and choose to be brave and set this cage bird free.
That track is a great example of a warm, family-friendly sound.
Yeah, I mean, I've done Quaker. I did 2 McDonald's last year. I've done Walmart. I've done Kellogg. So I think for me, my personal sound, that's what I know. That's what I've done that's worked. But there's definitely, I would say there's 3 main contenders. There's either my kind of sound, which is like a very acoustic, very happy, very sincerely happy. Like you don't think it sounds cheesy and it doesn't sound like it was made up. It's a bunch of people in a room making acoustic kinds of sounds with ukuleles and whistles, and something about it comes out extremely authentic and sincere. So there's that. Then there's also like this hipster millennial sort of like fits in the tantrums, and they kind of sound like the Black Keys, and it's very swaggery. That works for like a good beer commercial. That could also work for like, that also could work for a car commercial. It also could work for a fashion spot where it's like a little bit more edgy. And then there's also this more, this other camp of, I would say, like a throwback to the 80s, and there's synths and there's interesting kinds of things where it's more electro and it's kind of got like more of a techno flavor a little bit, not so much, but a little bit. Those are like the 3 broad, I would say, extreme, you know, in terms of like the 3 camps. But then, of course, there's going to be moments where they need a hip hop song, or there's moments where they need a dance track. But in general, you have to remember, and I forget this too, last year I took several trips because I wanted to go say hello in person to people who've been using my music. So I went to Chicago, I went to Minnesota, I went to Boston, and I went to New York City, of course. But I was in Minnesota, Robin. That's in the middle of the country. It's smack in the middle of the country. And why did I go there? Because there's a huge advertising agency bubble there. Because General Mills is in Minnesota and Target is in Minnesota. And so around these huge companies, Best Buy is in Minnesota. They've built ad agencies which are so up and coming and cool. And you walk into the office and the office has all the same glitz and coolness and creativity that New York City offices have. And it's in the middle of the Midwest. So the reason I think why a lot of that happy, family-oriented music works is because we have to remember that the majority of people who are buying these products, the reason that they're going to Macy's or Walmart, or the reason they're going to KFC, is because they live smack in the middle of the country between the coasts, and they don't have a ton of the boutique stores. I live in LA and so do you. So if I want to find something really niche that no one ever has seen, I can go to a store and I can find it. And you could find that in the Village in New York City, but you can't necessarily find that in the middle of the country. So you need to have music that appeals to people who are, you know, living all over. And that's the salt of the country, is like, you know, everybody in between. And so we have to appeal to everybody. And I think that's why maybe what I do, which kind of sounds like the girl next door, it's been working.
Yeah, I think that just using those universal emotions that we all share, which is togetherness, excitement, and celebrations, and getting energized about something new, just going with those emotions, those are universal. And no matter what the brand is, you're going to be feeling the same thing as anybody else, somebody who uses brands that maybe you don't use. It doesn't matter. It's the same feeling, energized, happy, upbeat feeling. And if you just write from your heart and what you feel, you'll be fine. I mean, do you think it's really all that different from writing songs for the radio or for your own album?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that there's just, in general, sort of two different headspaces. When you're writing to try to impress a record label, you're not going to be writing anything that you've heard, because the whole idea is if you've already heard it, they want the next thing. So you're trying to come up with the most cutting edge, sexy, edgy song, right? That's like the idea of writing a single. When you're writing for a brand, you're talking about a group of people in suits who are sitting around a table and working for months with an ad agency. And they have millions of dollars riding on this brand. And then they have a bunch of people to make sure that everybody is impressed, you know, by the song, and it has to feel like it fits the focus group. So you need to write something that just actually probably feels authentic and sincere. But it doesn't mean that it can't have a lot of like it can still for sure be quirky and fashion forward. There's a lot of songs that work. If you listen to bands like Tegan and Sarah, if you listen to The Cults, if you listen to Leaky Lee and all of these bands that are doing something that sounds pretty indie and left of center, but it works because maybe the chorus is called Daylight, or maybe there's a lyric that says On My Way.
Yeah, and you had mentioned earlier Fits in the Tantrums, and there are quite a few bands with album cuts that have been used in commercials, like Noah and the Whale, Katie Herzig, American Authors. Best Day of My Life is a great example, and that's a cut that crossed over to AC Radio.
Totally. That song is a great example, and they wound up getting a record deal, and sure enough, that was the song that was the single, not all the other stuff that they were trying to write that, you know, that was quote unquote cooler. It was that song, because that was the song everybody liked.
We're seeing a lot of crossover. We've seen Ingrid Michaelson, her songs come out of TV shows and ads. We've seen Christina Perry. We've seen Passenger. We've seen American Authors.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, I went to the Greek Theater a year ago and I saw Christina Perry open for Colby Calais. And she was talking about how she was about to give up and leave LA. And a friend of hers asked her if she could put her song on So You Think You Can Dance. And she said, sure. And she went to watch the recording of it live. And she thought, oh, that's the best night of my life. But she didn't realize that that was just the beginning of the rest of her life. Because the very next day, just from having the song on TV, she had like, you know, 200,000 YouTube plays. And then she got offered a record deal from the sync license, and the song went on to top 40 exactly as it was. There was no re-record. I mean, it's amazing, and it happens all the time.
Now, you pitch some great artists, really some of my favorites, the Weepies, Joanna Newsom, the Highfields, Carrie Kimmel. What do you hear? What are you looking for when you take on an artist to pitch for TV commercials?
I'm looking for a couple things. I mean, first of all, I want somebody who has music that's already excellent production-wise and also has the kinds of themes, kinds of melodies that I think would work for sync. If somebody sends me just a beautiful album, let's say, and it's a lot about breaking up and getting back together, which is what a lot of people's first and second and third records are about, I'm going to say, you know, well, that's interesting and it might be really well done, which means it could work for film and TV, but there's so much music already like that, that it's not something that people are going out of their way to find. There's so many lyrics like that. So I'm looking for lyrics that are about more of these epic, broader emotions and ideas, On My Way and Brand New and Making a Change and empowerment and going the distance and overcoming and home and those more broad themes. And then if those themes are done with cool production, I'm usually very interested. And then the other thing I'm looking for is a person who's really prolific, because with licensing, you want to be pitching all the time. I mean, since you and I got on the phone, my email, you know, pops up. So I've gotten a few emails from different ad agencies since we've been on the phone. So I probably pitch for, let's say, 6 things a day, you know, film stuff, a lot of ad stuff every single day. And we probably actually get a few things a month, but we pitch every day. So I need to work with people who are in it and they understand that the job is to constantly be writing music. It's not the kind of thing where if you're a touring artist, you write a record of 10 songs and you tour with those songs for a year. This is a constant flow. This is constantly honing the craft, constantly thinking of what the new themes are, working on getting them better, working on getting your sound better, and just churning out new music so that you constantly can be a squeaky wheel to the ad agencies and say, we have something new. I hope you like this.
That's excellent advice, because what works for you works for everybody. What you need is what everybody needs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very competitive space. And the thing is that anything you're going to do in your life, whatever the job is, you know, if you're going to open a restaurant, if you're going to be a realtor, if you're going to try to work your way up inside of a company, you need to show up. And if you're an artist and you're competing against hundreds of thousands of millions of people who want these jobs, the thing that you're going to be able to control is how much you show up. But you're not going to be able to control whether or not you have as much talent or your voice is as good. But if you keep showing up and you continue to be prolific and you get better and better and you always seem to be there, they say, wow, you know, this person is not a typical artist who's, you know, artists get a rap for not being so organized or not being so punctual or they're not so together. They forget that it's a business. But if you really make a mark as a business person, what starts to happen is you're competing against a much smaller group of people.
Are there any projects you're working on that you want to talk about?
Yes, I will tell you two things. Number one, last week, last Tuesday, I released a new EP. It's called Glow, and it has five new songs on it, and I'm very, very proud of it. I co-wrote and the whole record with Adrienne Gonzalez. She goes by AG, and she produced the whole thing, and she's absolutely phenomenal, fantastic. She's super talented. So we just put that out, and we've already licensed two of the songs. One has been licensed twice to two different ads. One of them I can't say, but it's coming out very soon, a national ad. And then another song on there is going to be the end title to a movie that's coming out, which I can't say yet, but it will, so that's great. And then in addition to that project, which is my creative project, I just finished writing a class, so I'm completely pumped up about getting artists into that class and helping them figure out how to license music to TV and ads. And that's going to go live for enrollment very soon.
That's wonderful. That's really exciting. If people want to get on your email list to find out when the class is a go, what would they do?
The best thing that they can do is go to a website, which I made specifically for this. And it's called Six Figure Songwriting. So the number six, the actual number, Six Figure Songwriting. And very soon I will let you know when you can enroll for my online class. We break down production and lyrics and pitching the music and how to get a licensing agent. And then there's also, there's going to be webinars that I'm going to host throughout the year. It's good information. And I think that they'll be very inspired also. And I love, love, love teaching. So I'm excited about it.
Congratulations on everything. I know your workshops and your course will be great. I want to thank you for being here today and for sharing so much of your knowledge and your inspiration with us. You can check out Kathy's music and the artist she represents at catchthemoonmusic.com. This is Robin Frederick. Thanks for joining me today for songwriting tips and inspiration. Let's close by listening to Kathy's track, Good, Good Feeling. Thanks for listening.
Give it to me.